All right. If you've been following on Twitter, you know that there's been some challenges going on in our lives right now. My 2-year-old son was run over by a car, and while there's no broken bones, he's alive, but there was spinal cord damage that seems to have stopped any feeling in his legs. Some of that feeling seems to have slowly come back, as maybe the swelling is going down. But as of now, he's in rehab at the hospital. So my wife and I are taking turns, along with my mother-in-law, and staying with him and shifting around. So there's been a lot going on. It's been hard to get things all situated with recordings and stuff. So the episode that you're going to listen to is one we recorded before all this happened. I just hadn't finished editing it yet and everything, and we've had some time off a little bit, so there might be some future delays. I'll try to have them all out, but yeah, there's just obviously a lot going on over here. So in the meantime, if you are listening and aware of these things, just, you know, be praying that things go well and that he gets as much use of his legs as he can back, and that we can all be there for him and adjust to whatever changes may come. Thank you. Paralleling, and following along in the parallel stories of the Pokemon anime and the manga, Pokemon Adventures. Welcome to a new episode of Routes Through Pokemon Adventures. I'm one of your hosts, Shea Locke.
I'm Ruby.
And together we are a father and daughter duo exploring the Pokemon world, starting with Red and Blue, going through the mainline series, and following along in the parallel stories of the Pokemon anime and the manga, Pokemon Adventures. So currently we are in Volume 5 of the manga, which follows the adventures of Yellow as everybody is searching for the missing Red. And we are in the Orange Islands, the non-existent islands from the games, but a whole season of it for the anime. But it's been pretty fun. Today we are covering the second half of Volume 5, Chapters 60 through 65. Breath of the Dragonair, Part 1 through 3. Extricated from Executor, Putting It on the Line, Against Arcanine, and Karate Machop. And then in the anime, I don't remember what the numbers are, but we are covering the episodes. Ship Full of Shivers, Meowth Rules, Tracy Gets Bugged, A Way Off Day Off, and the Out of Circulation episode, thanks to Jinx, The Mandarin Island Mismatch.
I can't believe they had to get rid of the episodes with Jinx.
Yeah, I actually just recently learned that some episodes too, they didn't quite get rid of. They didn't take the episodes out of circulation, but they cut scenes that show a Jinx. Like, so it's just kind of in the background or doing something minor, so it didn't really disrupt the story. Whereas, like, Island, the mismatch one, Jinx plays kind of a pivotal role. Same with the Santa Claus one. Like, you couldn't have the episode. So, before we dive into the chapters and episodes, though, let's catch up on where we are at in our other Pokemon adventure-y stuff. I know recently Vivi has caught up in Pokemon Scarlet and Violet with Ruby and I, and actually, like, he's done the same amount of gyms, and the same gyms. He's done one Team Star battle, the same one we did, and he has done two Titans. However, his second Titan is different than the Titan we finished. So, hopefully, tomorrow we'll get to play some, and he'll go get that Bombirdier one while we go find the one that he did.
Don't tell me. I want to know.
That's why I didn't explain what it was. And then in Pokemon Go, I finally did hatch a Charcadet, which I was very excited about. I hatched like one or two more 10k eggs and nothing, and now I have none. So I'm trying to hatch eggs so I can get more 10k, so I can hopefully get some more Charcadets. But since then, I've also, you know, threw some rare candy at them, walking around with them a little bit, and fighting some Pokemon battles, mostly Team Rocket, just repeating over and over again with losing, just like I did with Annihilate. And so I have my Cerulege, and he's so cool. Only a 2-star, but still, I have one, and I'm happy.
In Pokemon Go for me, I recently caught a Bulbasaur. And so I made a whole new tag and everything. It's called Hated Pokemon. And she's the only one in that lonely one. And the color is black. He's all alone.
Poor Bulbasaur.
Poor Bulbasaur. Poor me.
It would be safe to say that out of all the Pokemon from Kanto, Bulbasaur is not number one.
Yeah, that's pretty safe to say.
All right, so beyond that, is there anything other Pokemon-related going on that we've done? I recently got an Elite Box, and I think we'll actually open some of those packages today. Oh, I know. I was out on a birthday date with Vi-Vi, and we decided to play some Pokemon Go, and we were walking around. It was the Litten Community Day where we were doing this, and we definitely got, you know, I think we both got like 7 shiny Littens, so we could have a nice collection so we can share them with, you know, siblings and my children and stuff. Well, but also have the evolutions and stuff.
You can only share 5 with everybody else because I need 3.
Yeah, that's not gonna happen. And I only have a couple I can share because I needed one for home, one to stay Litten, one for the evolution, and one for the final evolution. So I only have like 3 I can give out.
Okay, so Vi-Fi can give his out, you give yours.
Maybe. But while we were out, we also decided to stop at a game store, and I was going to buy him something that he might want or whatever. He picked a pre-made Mew V deck, I think, which has been fun. But I also bought something for myself, and apparently it was right before, like, it was a special event going on there right before they released a new set, so you could, I think, get the new set while you were there if you participated in the tournament or something. I didn't know anything about this, but they were also giving out posters. And so I have, like, I didn't know I was gonna get this when I went there, but I got myself an Eevee poster with all the evolutions on it. And I was very, very excited because, of course, you know, if you've been listening, I love Eevee.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
So I have that hanging up with all my other Pokemon related stuff, manga and all that.
I opened a little Pokemon tin thing recently with a Lucario V in it, which was fun.
Oh, that's cool. We've been also slowly watching through Pokemon Horizons. I think we're 5 episodes in. We did 2 the first week, and then we're just trying to do 1 a week. So next week, we can watch another one. Yeah, still really enjoying it. I think we just ended up with a cliffhanger where Liko and Sprigatito got caught or something on the beach. Isn't that what happened?
There was smoke, and then I think the Corviknight was rushing at them, and then done.
Yeah, something like that. So it wasn't looking good for Sprigatito and Liko, because what's-his-face wants Liko and the pendant together, the explorer that has the Corviknight.
Yeah, it looks like he was going to get it or something. I don't know.
Amethio or something like that. What is his name?
Amethiger.
Sure, we'll go with that. All right. Now, with all that covered, let us jump into our main episode. So, starting off, we have Chapter 60, Breath of the Dragon Air, Part 1. Here we see Yellow is trying to figure out how to cross the sea, now that the Saint Anne has been sunk. Omni is the only water Pokemon Yellow has, and Omni does not know surf, so he can't use that. So he's doing some fishing, and it's only bringing up Tentacool as well, which isn't helpful. So Yellow is going to go to another shore to search for water Pokemon, but first has Pika practice some attacks. Then there is a cry for help, and someone surfing on their Slowpoke crashes down and breaks their leg. Kitty, the Caterpie, binds it up in a silk or, it's like silk stuff to make it cast.
But really, like, stiff and thick.
Right.
Which we learned in Pokemon Horizons, because the air balloon airship had lots of holes, and they couldn't repair them. So they went and got Caterpies and Scythers.
Yes.
Scythers as scissors, basically.
Yep. Scyther scissors. So then the swimmer explains there's a contest the next day for surfing, and the winner gets a Dragon Air, which would be able to take Yellow across the sea. Meanwhile, Green and Bill are still dealing with the attack that they had at Bill's cabin, and Blastoise is running out of jet water power, which is what they were using to escape. So they take cover, and Blastoise and Hitmonlee get ready to battle, because Hitmonlee found them again, because that was what attacked them. Bill and Green observe that Hitmonlee's trainer must be nearby, since Hitmonlee is entering a battle stance and not, like, just acting wild, you know?
Yeah.
And Green can't shout out commands at Blastoise, or else she'll give away their location. But then she pulls out a device that can send her words in a bubble, so that it can hopefully pop near Blastoise. And then the command would come out of the bubble and he would listen to it. Seems like a very strange thing, but alright, I'll buy it.
Well, of course you'll buy that. You buy anything. You bought leaf stones in Leaf Forest.
Of course I'm going to believe the whole leaf stone thing, since the only thing, like every piece of evidence we have, suggests that there must be there if we're following all the rules, right? Executes do not evolve without a leaf stone. Execute evolved in a place called a leaf forest. Ergo, there must be some leaf stones there, and it must have touched one. It's pretty simple.
It just randomly touched a random leaf stone.
Again, there's probably multiple in leaf forests, so it's not that far-fetched, not to be confused with the Pokemon.
So why didn't he touch one earlier?
Because he happened upon one at that point.
Why that moment?
Are you going to argue that it was too coincidental in a cartoon show where there's a lot of weird coincidences?
Like Pikachu defeated Glurak, ground-type Pokemon, but then Bellsprout doesn't get hurt because it's grounding itself?
Well, that's just breaking rules, period, but sure.
That's just breaking rules, period.
It is! Anyway, somebody's crabby.
Yeah, you are crabby.
Not me, you're the one throwing a bunch of shade all over the place.
Excuse me, you're the one believing random things.
Again, I came up with a theory, so of course I'm going to believe in it, because there is nothing that refutes it except for you just whining about it.
Why does he have perfect time not to evolve right then when he's needed?
Why does a lot of things happen in the anime? I mean, seriously. Okay. Ash just happened to found some girl to fish him out when he was drowning in the water, and then he steals her bike because she just happened to have one there when nobody else seems to have one in the Viridian Forest. Anyway. Back at Vermilion, Yellow and others are getting ready for the contest. Dragonair is put on display and sent into the water to demonstrate abilities. But then Dragonair answers the call of something else, and a whirlpool forms around it, sucking everyone in. Then a stranger, it's Lance, is standing on top of Dragonair's head. Dun dun dun!
Cliffhanger, that's the end, no more.
Chapter 61, Breath of the Dragonair, Part 2. Lance has Dragonair use Hyper Beam on Vermilion City, destroying quite a bit of it. Not wanting to allow someone else's Pokemon to get hurt, Yellow returns the Slowpoke and rides Doduo along the shore to try to keep up with Lance, as Lance, you know, sails away on the Dragonair. Also, Lance was shouting for someone to come out when he decided to blow up half of Vermilion City, and then he figures that whoever it was that he was looking for must have moved on, because they didn't come out. Yellow might be the one Lance was looking for. Can't be too sure. At this point. Like, we just really have no idea what he was doing. We go back to Green and Bill. Green's message doesn't quite make it to Blastoise, because Hitmonlee pops the bubble, seeing through the plan. Or the trainer does. Then Hitmonlee wraps its limbs all around Blastoise, and Blastoise starts using Bubble. With all the bubbles everywhere, Green sends another message commanding an attack she and Blastoise made up. It involved using a cannon to pound Hitmonlee's head. Hitmonlee falls off a cliff, but then Green says Yellow is in trouble because the whole thing with Hitmonlee was a decoy. Otherwise, Hitmonlee would have attacked sooner when it saw Blastoise was waiting for orders. Back to the Lance chase, Yellow has Kitty wrap silk around Pika's tail, and Doduo launches Pika at the Dragonair, and holding onto the silk string created by Kitty, and using something to float on, I guess, Yellow is pulled along by Dragonair. Lance notices, and they chat, and he says the buildings were in his way, and he was looking for something. He also says the surfing contest is popular, so no one was in Vermilion City to die. Well, maybe a couple of trainers. Ah, well. Lance is not a good guy. Clearly.
He's trying to say how rude.
Then he has Dragonair attack Yellow. Oh, and Lance says the Elite Four's mission is to get rid of all humans except the Elite Four, because humans good and Pokemon's good are opposed. Who would want to be kept as a pet? The Elite Four will, quote-unquote, free Pokemon from the control of humans.
Pokemon, some of them can be friends.
Yep.
Except for Charizard.
Doing punk. Charizard's such a punk. Did you say no one likes Charizard? Do you realize he's one of the most popular Pokemon?
I know! What is with it, though?
I don't know. lot of people like dragons and fire and stuff. I don't know.
I think that's my best friend. Because she likes Eevee and Eevee evolutions more. But maybe she'll know why everyone is so obsessed with Charizard.
Yeah, he's very, very popular.
He's just a brand new Pokemon.
I do like his shiny version, though. I like the black. That's cool.
Okay, he looks cool. But, like...
And his Mega Evolutions are kind of cool.
I just can't understand people in Charizard.
I think I get it to some extent, but it's just not me. All right, Chapter 62, Breath of the Dragonair, Part 3. Dragonair can cause storms because it's messing with the weather, which I think we kind of learned in the anime, too, didn't we? In that band episode with all the guns in the Safari Zone. There was some comment about Dragonair manipulating weather, and that's why it started raining or something.
Yeah, probably, because Dragonair also made it sunny.
Sure, okay.
I don't remember it making it rainy, but probably.
I could be wrong. I don't really remember what exactly happened. I just remember the Dragonair flying in the air and then they saying something about it messing with the weather. So, yeah, I like that we have this theme then, so it must be constant. I don't know if it's mentioned in the games or not, I guess. I don't remember. So, yeah, Dragonair can cause storms, and is outclassing even Pikachu with its Hyper Beam. Then Lance sees the scar on Pika's ear and realizes that this specific Pikachu is the one Lorelei is after, and that Yellow must be the Yellow Lance has heard about, who also made things difficult for Agatha. Remember, in the town with the super nerd and the ghosts.
Oh, yeah.
He's amused and doesn't really care about recapturing and dealing with Pika, but he'll bring Pika along. Like, he's not going to go out of his way to satisfy Lorelei's need to get rid of Pika, but whatever.
Yeah.
Because remember, Lorelei wants to maintain the reputation of the Elite Four, right? So nobody can escape. But, I mean, Lance just told us his goal is to get rid of all humans anyway, so in the long run it won't matter. And that's what he's caring about, is the long run. So, Yellow is just discarded into the water. Then Yellow has Pika use Substitute and attack, freeing Pika, and then the two start to drown. But other cities will be destroyed if Yellow can't keep going, and so Yellow fights. Then it is revealed that Pika's substitute repels water, and so Yellow pops back up on a surfboard, which is Pika's substitute energy, because it's like an energy form.
Because
that's what he used to get into the city, Saffron City, when they were trying to find the Sylph Company and everything. Remember, Pika used a move to create a energy version of him that went inside, because he could get through the barrier because he wasn't fully physical. So yeah, it's funny that because this substitute Pika is a surfboard now. They blast away Lance and head for the city at the other side of the sea. Then we cut to Oak getting a letter from Pidgeot that mentions Green is involved and that the Elite Four have their headquarters on a place called Cerise Island. So again, we have another island that doesn't necessarily exist in the games, just like the Orange Isles. Then we have Chapter 63, Extricated from Executor. Yellow is fishing, and a far-fetched falls from the sky, so Yellow sends Pika into the water after it, with the surfboard which Yellow rides along with. Back on the beach, Yellow helps the far-fetched with his hurt wing, and learns from the Pokemon that he couldn't find his nest, and then the trees attacked him. They find the forest, and also get lost despite using Kitty's string to keep them in line. That's because the forest is moving and starts tossing fruit at the group.
It's probably a bunch of Executor that evolved without Leafstone.
It is a bunch of Executor and Oddish, but I'm sure they evolved properly. Thank you very much! They get away and contact Oak. He explains that some Pokemon can sense natural and unnatural disasters approaching. Actually, you know what? With the Executor here? We've found, because we remember the whole Poly world situation from last week?
Oh, yeah.
Because we talked about how in the Red issue, all of a sudden after the whole SSN battle, Poliwhirl became Poliwrath when he rescued Red and got out of the water.
Isn't that because there was a water stone?
But that was never established.
It wasn't?
No, it just happened. We talked about this last week, remember? So he gets rescued by Poliwrath, his evolved Poliwhirl, and I was kind of annoyed when we read it because I'm like, geez, he should need a water stone. That's how you're supposed to evolve. And they're not following the rules. And I hate it when they don't follow the rules. But whatever. And then later on in the Yellow comic, while Yellow's in Vermilion, talking to the Poke Fanatic guy, they talk about the special stones underwater. And that's probably what happened. And they even do the same thing with Viridian Forest, where there's all those weird Pokemon that don't belong there. And then we have Giovanni later explain Well, I put them there. So even if these executors, when they wrote this part, don't involve a leaf stone, if it's important, it'll come up later and they'll be like, well, yeah, because the rules of the game, so we're going to write this part here and suggest that's how it happened. And so if the manga can do this, it seems very likely that my explanation for the executor in the leaf forest is accurate. So they get away from the moving executor and Oddish team and contact Oak. Then we get a look at Cerise Island with Lance and his two Dragonair, a Gyarados, Dragonite, and Aerodactyl, all Pokemon he uses in the battle with the Elite Four. Yep. Agatha and Lorelei look on and say the Pokemon are getting restless, and it means Lance is about to make his move or something. Then we get more talk with Oak and a female assistant that looks kind of like Gary and wears a similar pendant.
A female assistant that looks like Gary.
Well, she does!
Wait, Gary?
Oh, sorry. This is the manga, it's not Gary. That looks like blue. And she does. She looks like blue.
Is she choking? What? She looks like...
She looks like blue, not looks blue. Anyway. So she looks like blue, wears a similar pendant. She also calls Oak grandfather. So, this must be Oak's sister. No. This must be Blue's sister. And when I was reading that, I'm like, oh yeah, I totally forgot that Blue or Red or Gary, well, like Gary, well, in the game, I guess, has a sister. Remember? She's the one that gives us the map. The town map when we visit the Oak's house.
I'll accept it.
Do you remember?
No.
Okay, well, you remember Pallet Town, right? In the games.
Yes.
Okay, you remember our house because we went there over and over again after beating the game over and over again.
Yes.
If we walk straight right, there's another house.
No, that's the lap.
No, that's...
No, that's down a little
bit. Yeah, that's straight and down.
Look at me and my bad.
Straight to the right and down is the lab. So right above the lab is the other house that's our rival's house, if you read the sign or something. And going in there, there's a girl in there. And she talks about her brother, Blue or Red or Gary or whatever. And he's red in your game, or in my game.
Oh, yeah. Ew.
Anyway, and then she gives us the town map.
I'll accept.
Okay. So anyway, so yeah, when she showed up in the manga, I'm like, what?
Manga?
Well, that's technically how it's pronounced. I need to be better about that.
It's manga.
Well, us Americans like to say manga, but it's manga because it's a Japanese word. They have ma-ga. Manga.
Yeah, but, I mean, cake is an English word and they say cake.
Yep.
So if they say theirs in Japanese,
I mean, that's manga. That is fair, but I will probably try to use manga. All right.
It sounds weird.
I'm sorry that it sounds weird to you. Anyway, it was funny when she showed up and I'm like, who's this other grandchild of Professor Oak's? And it was just so funny that I completely forgot that Blue or Red or whatever has a sister in the game.
It's so funny that you really forgot. I still don't remember.
Well, you are kind of pathetic. Anyway.
Excuse me.
So they.
I am not pathetic.
They both talk about how Yellow is taking on the Elite Four, who surpassed the gym leaders, and it seems crazy, but they are starting to believe in the kid, meaning Yellow. So then we have Chapter 64, putting it on the line against Arcanine.
See, it is Arcanine, because, like, they even make a rhyme.
I'm sorry, does line and Arcanine not rhyme?
Arcanine? Line? No, those don't have the same flow. Putting it on the line against Arcanine? It flows better if it's put it on the line against Arcanine.
I think that does sound better. I completely agree. That's why I read it that way.
Good, because it's probably.
So Yellow makes it to Cinnabar Island and meets a junior trainer, because they had I think it was a junior trainer instead of a youngster. The way they were dressed, they look just like the characters in the game that you can fight against, junior trainers and youngsters. Junior trainers are the ones with the scout outfit.
Oh, yeah.
Youngsters usually have the baseball cap on.
I was like, no, that's a youngster. Wait,
now I'm trying to remember what this one looked like. I don't have the manga in front of me.
Manga. Manga sounds weird.
Anyway, so it's a junior trainer or a youngster. I don't remember. But they look just like the trainers we face off sometimes. Mm-hmm. And this junior trainer has a Haunter, and the kid explains that the volcano on the island is dormant. Realizing that this is the island Blaine lives on, Yellow is sure Blaine has already searched the island, and so no clues to Red is likely to be found here.
I said, the Haunter, it, like, basically that the Haunter explained that the volcano yeah. is a doormat.
So, yeah, because Red's still missing, they don't know where Red is, and they've been searching all over the place, and so Yellow figures that Blaine, who lives on the island, must have explored the island for any sign. As Yellow thinks of what to do next, the junior trainer picks up some rocks. He explains that someone asked for his help to train a Pokemon. Then he goes to the edge of a rope bridge, and an old balding guy shows up and is ready. The kid throws the first rock, and is hit away by what looks to be a giant spoon. Ooh. And the silhouette resembles Mewtwo.
Wait, Mewtwo has a spoon? Oh, that's a psychic trait.
Yes, we saw him do it.
Sorry.
In the battle Red had with Mewtwo back when he caught him. Then the junior trainer has Arcanine use Ember when he and Haunter throw a ton more rocks. They all get batted off as well, and the old man has one hand wrapped in bandages. The man gives the junior trainer something for helping, and Yellow recognizes the man's face and voice, but can't quite place it. The man asks if Yellow wants to come with him. Entering the secret lab in the volcano, the man reveals he knows Yellow's name, and then he takes off the fringe of hair and puts on glasses and a long, thin mustache to reveal that he is Blaine. Then they get a message from Brock, and he explains that on the far side of Mount Moon, that over on the far side of Mount Moon, where he's exploring to find clues for Red, that he has seen Red. He says Red was there, but what he found in a deep pit was Red frozen in ice. Or did he?
Another cliffhanger!
Chapter 65, Karate Machop. So the ice was in the form of basically like a Red. So yeah, it was the form of Red cast in ice. So it looked like somebody made a cast of Red in ice. But the back was broken, which reveals that it seems likely Red escaped this icy prison, so somebody covered him in ice and he broke out the back of it. They recollect hearing Red and Blue getting out of ice before. Do we remember that?
Yes. It was in a gym. Not a gym. It was with a gym person, though, I think.
Yeah, Koga in the Sylph Company building.
Charizard.
Yeah, go Charizard!
What?
He's
no.
the best.
No! Charizard is not. No one likes Charizard.
Just teasing. Anyway. Then Misty cuts in and says Pewter City, Cerulean City, and Celadon City are all under attack by Pokemon. And then her transmission gets cut off. Blaine yells for Brock to get off the mountain, so Brock rushes off with his group of Geodude.
His group of Geodude?
Yeah, he has a whole group of them. Like six of them or something. They like to spin around in a circle around him or something. Holding hands. Singing Kumbaya. No, just kidding. They don't do that part. We see Machop all over Pewter City, demolishing it, which are fighting Pokemon, which are good against rock. And we see Gengar and Haunter are swarming over Cerulean. Shellder and Cloyster are taking on Celadon. So, the poison ghost going over Cerulean doesn't necessarily make a whole ton of sense. Like, it's not their weakness, necessarily, because it's just water Pokemon. But the ice move Pokemon with... Well, actually, that's also not the best option either. Shellder and Cloyster can use ice moves, but they're still water, and they're going against the grass gym. So they're kind of both weak to each other at that point. So whatever. Like, honestly, Cloyster and them maybe should have taken on Cerulean City. Erica recognizes that these are attacks from the fighting ghost and ice trainers of the Elite Four. Really? Is that what's going on? And it means one is unaccounted for, which would be...
The Dragon Trainer.
Dragon Trainer, Lance, yeah.
Lance!
Which we all read about in the first three chapters, so... Blaine sends Yellow off to come from a different side of Cerise Island, because they're all going to go up on Cerise Island, since all the trainers must be off going and sending these Pokemon to the cities, right? And they don't want to come from the same side in case there's traps or whatever, and they want to do kind of like a pincher attack. So Yellow's going to come from a different side while Blaine works on coming from the other side. And Blaine is held up a bit by his bandaged arm hurting. Then he grabs the Master Ball and says, "It's time to go, quote-unquote, brother."
Brother!
And who goes in the Master Ball? Mewtwo, of course, right? So he's going to bring Mewtwo, and he calls him brother because they are linked by the cells that he used.
He had to use some of his DNA to make Mewtwo.
Correct. When he approaches Cerise, he is annoyed that Yellow didn't listen, but then realizes it isn't Yellow he just found, but Blue on his Golduck. Blaine and Blue go into the cave together and realize someone else is there, and it isn't Yellow. And if we look closely, we can see Electabuzz, Muk, and Alakazam lurking in the shadows. Blaine and Blue know someone is there, and Blaine sees the Pokemon and can't believe it is who he thinks. But it is Team Rocket. Or at least, Sabrina, Lieutenant Surge, and Koga of Team Rocket, the evil gym leaders. To be continued. And that is our actual cliffhanger for the manga this week.
Why do you say manga?
I've already explained this. And so then, we will move on to the anime.
What? It's anime!
Oh, is there an an in Japanese, or is it ah? Anime.
Well, if you pronounce it anime, and then...
Anime. I-Z.
Well, at least I know everyone else thinks is going to think you're crazy and won't think I'm crazy.
All right. So on to the anime. We start with a ship full of shivers. This is where we learn that Ash is halfway through the Orange League badges. Because there's apparently only 4. Not 8. Not 18.
Just... Did they get Orange Island badges to enter into the tournament?
In Indigo? Mm-hmm. I don't think so.
But
I think you need
badges, right?
I think you need Indigo badges for Indigo League.
They never specifically said, so I would.
Eh, maybe. But we didn't see anybody with the shell badges that Ash has been getting when we saw examples of different badges that we hadn't seen. All right, so a ship full of shivers. We learn that there's 4. He's got 2. While talking to Oak on little video screen stuff, video phone calls, they learn there is an old, 300-year-old, Orange League trophy that was discovered recently and is now on display on the very island they just made it to. Coincidentally enough, look at that timing.
Why with all the timing? It's all wrong.
Then we see Team Rocket sneaking into the museum to steal this trophy. But to get past the security system, they decide to lower, because there's a bunch of like little lasers and stuff, and so to get in there, they need to get somebody above and lower them down to go grab it. And they pick James. There's Meowth, Jesse, and James. And Jesse and Meowth decide to hold the rope to lower James. I would argue that that was pretty stupid. Why not Meowth? He's small. He'll fit through the things better, and he'll be lighter.
I was about to say, did they lower Meowth?
Nope. James.
Well, you're arguing that something's pretty stupid, and you're arguing that with Team Rocket.
I mean, yes, they're stupid. I get it. Still, even though it makes no sense, it works. So when Ash and Co. arrive in the morning, they find out from Officer Jenny that the trophy is stolen, and there is an imprint from where James tripped and fell with the trophy, which happened when they were escaping, which is the only clue they have besides the footprints. But as luck would have it, Team Rocket decided to celebrate their success so much that they ended up falling asleep in some bushes on a pathway. And Ash and Co. just happened to come across them. Meowth decides to skip off with the trophy while Jesse and James start their motto. But as they run after him, so then they have to chase after him while they're finishing up their motto. Then they steal a Seadra pedal boat. Weirdly, Team Rocket complains about it. That they're on a pedal boat when their submarines are also pedal-powered. That's how they get around. So why is it weird or inconvenient that they're on a pedal boat?
Maybe they only like pedaling on a submarine.
Oh, that could be.
It's just the right temperature.
Just the right temperature. Oh, sure. We'll go with that. So, Ash and Co. decide to chase on Lapras, which means we get to see a little extra Lapras now, because usually Lapras is just at the beginning, if that, because now we've sometimes start on the island and stuff, and then they get to an island, and then they're like, all right, Lapras, return. You did good. You need to rest up. Lapras did have a moment in the gym, at the first gym, with the race, and they used Lapras a little extra, I think, in the Joy episode, where they're going to different islands, although they use boats to chase after Joy, don't they?
Yeah.
Doesn't make any sense. I don't know if I even thought about that last time. What the heck?
You gotta use Lapras more.
So, let's see. I lost her. Oh, they chase on Lapras, and then suddenly, everyone is consumed by fog, and there is an abandoned ship in the midst of the mist. A classic white-clothed ghost is roaming aboard and freaks out Team Rocket, who decided to climb up. Ash realizes it must be the ship where they found the Orange Island trophy when they get on there. And they also found, like, Team Rocket's Cedra boat or something, so they knew they got on. Misty is freaking out about the ghost, and the White Sheet is watching them, too. Then Togepi falls into a hole in the ship, and Pikachu tries to rescue it, unlike Misty. But, unfortunately, he misses. And so they all go looking for the little critter.
How is Misty so bad at hanging on to Togepi?
Right?
How is that so hard? Put Togepi in a Pokeball.
And then Togepi wanders off happy. Yeah, that's actually a good point. He belongs in a Pokeball. Togepi wanders off happy as can be and almost walks down another hole. And then while they're searching, Pikachu's doing his normal thing where he's like, pee-pee-pee! Where he's right saying Togepi, but in PPP, it's just funny. Pee-pee-pee. I love his call for Togepi.
He's cute.
Meanwhile, Team Rocket runs into two White Sheet ghosts. The ghosts lick Team Rocket and steal the trophy away.
Which means it can only be one.
Lickitung!
One of three different ghosts. Lickitung?
Yeah, it licked them, so it must be a Lickitung. Because they're sheets.
It's a ghost!
They're just wearing white sheets.
When I was watching this, I was pretty sure they were ghosts, so I was like, it's either a Gastly, a Hunter, or a Gengar.
And they lick too. Alright.
So I was pretty sure of this before.
But if they're ghosts, then why are they wearing ghost costumes? That's my question.
If Ash is Ash, then why does he wear his Ash costume?
What kind of question is that? No, why are they wearing hokey Scooby-Doo White Sheet ghost costumes where it's just a sheet with the holes cut out when they're already ghosts? They don't need to appear as a ghost. They're already a ghost.
They can't reveal their true form to humans.
Oh, okay. Or, if they're anything like the ghosts we found in the tower episode, they are just being silly.
Maybe that.
Probably watched too many movies again. They were watching TV about all the, like, a bunch of comedy and stuff, which is why they like that stuff. Anyway. And then when they go off with the trophy, they fly by Togepi, who seems to like the ghost flying around. Togepi. Yeah, he just smiles and is like, Togepi, Togepi. Actually, probably more like, Togepri.
Togepri. I like the way you like, Togepri.
Yeah. Pri. Tracy enlists Meryl to help find Togepi, and they find a scary shadow and think Togepi is a ghost.
Why do they think Togepi?
They don't think Togepi is a ghost, but they saw the shadow and think it's a ghost, but it's actually just Togepi's shadow. And then they find out there are real ghosts. Then Misty braves up to save Togepi, so that's good. She was afraid of the ghost, but she's like, hey, that's Togepi. That's my Togepi.
I'm doing something for Togepi.
Yep. So she throws out Staryu, which reveals Gastly and Haunter are the White Sheet ghosts. Surprise! Nobody knew that was coming.
Excuse me. Excuse me.
I was being sarcastic. All right. Ash and Co. want to fight the ghosts, but then they realize that they are just playing with Togepi. But then when Ash tries to grab the trophy, the ghosts block his path, and Ash pretends to be Indiana Jones and says, that trophy belongs in a museum. Okay, he wasn't pretending to be Indiana Jones, but he said Indiana Jones's line.
You're always saying Indiana Jones's line.
Because Indiana Jones is cool. This cues Team Rocket's arrival, and they release their Pokemon. And Victory Bell doesn't eat anyone and actually listens.
Victory Bell, you were cool for a little bit, and I didn't mind that you came from the Pokemon.
You mean Bellsprout?
No! The Pokemon, like I said. But now you're not eating, James. That's a problem. It's a very big problem.
So Haunter uses Confuse Ray on Arbok, which sends it attacking Team Rocket. Then Haunter possesses Meowth and uses him to talk, just like Tentacruel in that episode forever ago.
Poor Meowth.
He's always used to talk for the Pokemon. Haunter and Gastly explain through Meowth and images, somehow they're able to create images, to reveal they were the Pokemon of the ship captain. The trophy was his, so likely the captain's not alive anymore since it was 300 years ago. Gastly and Haunter have guarded it ever since, but when the trophy went away, when the trophy was discovered and taken to the museum. The two ghost Pokemon raised the ship and went looking for the trophy. So then the heroes are treated to images of the captain's battles with Gastly and Haunter over his shoulders. And this really made me love the concept of, like, a captain with his ghost Pokemon, you know, sailing the seas.
That is kind of cool.
He seems a really cool character to me.
I'm just confused about one thing. Pokemon die, right?
Yeah.
I feel like even ghost Pokemon would have to die if they're... Like, otherwise, how are they a ghost type? Like, I don't understand.
Ghost Pokemon can't die because they're ghosts. They usually come from something that's already dead.
Oh, they do.
Yeah. Or at least that's often the theory for a lot of the ghost Pokemon.
Gastly's do, but not Haunter and Gengar.
Oh, right, because Gastly evolves.
But how does he... It makes no sense.
There's a lot of things that don't make sense. I mean, there's a Pokemon that's an ice cream cone, for crying out loud.
Vanilla?
Yup. Anyway. So, the interesting thing here... So, I like this concept, right, of the captain with ghost Pokemon. But one thing that could use is a... Delmise or Delmise or whatever it is. I don't remember how it's pronounced, but it's like an anchor with a ship wheel on it. It's another ghost Pokemon, not from Kanto. It's from much later.
Okay. Huh.
But it's a ship kind of ghost Pokemon, right?
But they can't use that yet.
Right, it doesn't exist yet in the story, so that's why there isn't one here. But, like, it really would have fit with the theme for sure.
Yeah.
All right. So, Team Rocket's electrocuted by Pikachu, and then Haunter and Gastly send Team Rocket blasting off again! Ding, ding! Ash and Co. are left on their Lapras, and Haunter and Gastly sail the ship off into the sky toward the moon. Are there Clefairy up there?
That's what the Clefairy got up there. They hitched a ride on a ghost ship that went up there. Because that makes perfect sense.
Perfect sense.
Perfect sense.
All right, then our next episode... Yeah. Then our next episode is Meowth Rules. Yeah. So this one is fun for the fact that Ash and the gang are hardly in it. Kind of like the James-centered episode with his marriage or whatever, or his fiance.
With his marriage?
Yeah, sorry, he didn't get married.
Why?
They tried to get him to get married. So James and Jesse are working on fixing their Magikarp sub for once. We see it break all the time, but this time we actually get to see them fixing it. James is whining, and Jesse calls him out on James being a spoiled rich kid. Then Jesse talks about the power of positive thinking, and Meowth is so happy to have free clams. So he's exhibiting some positive thinking, which then annoys Jesse and James, even Jesse, who was like, hey, power of positive thinking. So then finally James tries to shake money out of Meowth and demands that he uses the payday move, which we learn now why Meowth doesn't have the payday move. It's because he used up all his energy learning to talk. That he can't learn payday.
Interesting.
Yeah, it was interesting. And while they're shaking him, or James is shaking him, they hear coins on James. So then they knock him around, but then they find out that it's not really coins. They're just special collectible bottle caps that he cherishes and can never part with. They see the Twerps sailing away on the Lapras, and so they shoot over to the Lapras. And this is all taking place at night. And so then their motto actually reflects the fact that it's taking place at night, because they say some stuff regarding the time of day that they're doing this. I don't remember what it was, but yeah.
Prepare for night trouble.
Something stupid, probably, yeah. But then the Magikarp sub starts to sink, so it must not have been fully repaired. And Ash sends Squirtle to Water Gun, which sends Jesse and James blasting off again. I don't even know if they ding this time, but they did blast off.
I don't think they did, and I was upset.
Well, it's not the end. So Meowth was hiding behind a fin during this, so he didn't get shot off. But when he pops out, Meowth gets blasted off too. But he flies farther and higher from the little rock that Jesse and James landed on. And then we cut to an island where a bunch of people are dressed with cat ears and noses, and the leader has cat paws on his hands as well. He doesn't, like they're just costume cat paws or whatever. And they apparently are worshipping a giant golden Meowth statue. The beach is where Meowth lands, and he's found and then carted over to the statue, and a bunch of food is put in front of him, and they're all worshipping him, but he doesn't quite catch on that he's being worshipped right away, and he's like, oh man, I'm in trouble.
Yeah.
They're plotting my demise. But he eventually catches on that he is... Yeah. Oh, and part of it, too, was funny, because when they put the food in front of him, he's like, oh, well, thank you, but I don't have any money, but I can pay you Tuesday, or I can't pay you until Tuesday. And that was funny to me because, I don't know, do you know Popeye the Sailor Man at all?
What?
Do you know the character from the cartoons called Popeye the Sailor Man? So he's a sailor guy, and his love interest is Olive Oil, is her name. Yeah, I know. And I forget what the bad guy's name is, but he's some brute that's always trying to take Olive Oil. And there's another character that is always showing up, and he's always saying, I will gladly pay you Tuesday for a hamburger today. And so Meowth was making that joke with the Tuesday comment, which I thought was hilarious. The special thing about Popeye, I used to love watching Popeye, but the thing that he always did is he would get in trouble, his, you know, Olive Oil would be kidnapped or he'd be tied up or whatever, but then he would always find a way to get his can of spinach out of his pocket because he loved his spinach, and he would somehow get it open and swallow it, and whenever he ate spinach, then he was all able to be super strong and beat up everybody and break ropes and whatever.
So it was a lesson for kids to go eat their spinach?
It might have been. I don't remember. I don't know if that was their purpose or whatever, but yeah, spinach always made him strong.
Secret lessons and shows.
But the worshippers are stunned when he says that comment because they didn't know that the Meowth of Bounty, which is what they call him, was supposed to be able to talk. Because they have a prophecy about the Meowth of Bounty.
Yeah.
So when he realizes that they are worshipping him, he gets a lot more demanding the next day, and he has, like, meatballs delivered and has some dancers show up and we're all loving on him and he's enjoying the attention. And then Meowth starts playing a tune on a little guitar or ukulele or something off on, like, a cliff later on, just on his own. And he seems super happy, but he wishes he could share all his blessings that he's having, all this food and enjoyment and something, with someone. And that gives him to think and wonder where Jesse and James are, because he doesn't make the connection necessarily, but obviously who he would like to share this wonderful time with is his two friends, Jesse and James.
But he calls them, like, his old friends or something.
So, yeah, I think maybe you're right. So then he sees Ash and Co, because he's on that cliff looking over the ocean, right? And he sees them getting close to the island on their Lapras, and then he envisions them ruining his good thing going on by outing who he is. By, like, he has images of them telling him, oh, he's from Team Rocket, he can't be trusted, blah, 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 blah. So he quickly sicks the people of the island on Ash and them. So when they get on the island, they're immediately in trouble with the natives. Because he claims that they're dangerous. Meowth does. So then the people utilize the Meowth of Bounty Guard. Which turns out the golden statue is the guard, and it's actually more like a tank. And it walks along, controlled by the rowing of worshippers inside. Like, they're doing, like, the row like you do on, like, a big giant ships and stuff.
Yeah.
But that's how they're moving this somehow. Turning the gears. And Ash and Co. almost get squished, and they find that electricity doesn't work against the guard. So they run away and dive off the island. And realizing that they're not friendly, they decide to move on to a different island. And that's it for the heroes.
The heroes had the short segment this time.
Yep. Apparently, Jesse and James washed up on shore during this and were collected by the guard on the way back from running Ash and the gang off. Then Meowth claims to not know Jesse and James when they are saying that they do know him, but he doesn't want them to ruin what he has going on. And he seems, like, reluctant to do this, but he's really sure that they would ruin it for him.
Yeah.
So, of course, Jesse and James don't give up and they sneak back in after they got thrown off the island or whatever, and they're in a bush disguise. And it turns out then we find out that Meowth needs to do a bounty ceremony where he's supposed to use his payday move to bring resources to the natives. And we already learned that Meowth does not know payday.
Yeah.
Oh, and on this note, remember in the manga, the Pokemon fan club guy?
Yeah.
Remember he found out that he had a Meowth that could use payday?
Yeah.
And he kept using it, and he kept saving the money, and that's how he eventually ended up on the SSN.
Mm-hmm.
So, hey, apparently it's just it's common in the stories of Pokemon to use it to have money. Which makes me wonder if money is even worth anything in the Pokemon world if you can just get yourself a Meowth to give you money.
Yeah. Team Rocket should work on stealing a Meowth next. Well, not just stealing, like, capturing.
They have a Meowth.
Well, another one that can use payday. And
too bad Meowzy didn't end up with Meowth. Maybe she could have done it.
Maybe. Meow.
No. Alright, so when he finds out that he needs to do this, Meowth is like, well, that's it for this, and he tries to flee. But of course, the Meowth of Bounty guard grabs him and starts shaking him, waiting for his payday. Finally, Meowth admits to not being able to use it. And they're all, like, all the natives are in shock and stuff. But the old man native, who's always giving advice and is a true believer, he's like, no, it's just been too long, and he's forgotten how to use it, and he just needs some battling to get him back to remembering how to use the Beidai move. So, now Meowth is facing a Nidoking in an arena to get experience so that he can use Beidai eventually. And after the battle, and he gets beaten up pretty bad, some of the people rush in to see if Meowth produced coins yet. Since he didn't, they send out an Onix. Meowth is in pretty rough shape, getting beat up. Just, oh, go ahead.
Then, I was about to say Team Rocket's sitting in the arena, I think. Or...
No, they're not. Jesse and James are in, like, one of those, like, tunnels that kind of lead into the floor area of the arena. And they're watching. So they remember good times with their little Meowth friend, and so they decide to help him. Then, suddenly, a coin hits Onix. And then many more coins start to show up. Just flying out across the field, which is a weird way for his ability to work, but okay. Meowth even thinks maybe he did learn it. But it's really just Jesse throwing coins out there, and James throws some of his special bottle caps even.
Because they need it just a few more.
Apparently. Yep. And Jesse and James decide to leave Meowth there to be happy as a hero there rather than a loser with them. So that was nice.
Yeah.
But then when they're back at the main area where they were worshipping Meowth, he sees the coins that were all collected, and he sees a bottle cap in the collection and knows that that must have been James helping him out, and that must be where all the coins came from.
Yep. So he rushes off to go find his friends.
That's right. Meanwhile, James laments at the loss of Meowth, but then he shows up. Mm-hmm. But they don't see him yet, or he doesn't see them yet. Jesse and James do. But he's speaking out loud that he wishes he could tell Jesse and James that he wants to still be with them.
Well, they hid from him.
Yeah, they hid. And the two of them hear from their spot. And then the worshippers come chasing after him to bring him back. But instead, James and Jesse pop out and do a different kind of motto about their friendship with Meowth.
And basically tell the islanders off who won.
Yep.
And then away.
And then Team Rocket all gets back in their sub and leaves. And then we move on to Tracy gets bugged. So once they land on this new island, a bee drill goes by, and Misty freaks. Hey, we're back to Misty being afraid of bugs, back like we learned in like episode 2 or 3.
They're sticking to it.
Yep. But Tracy, he's excited, because the island is famous for bug-type Pokemon. Mm-hmm. Misty's lucky day. So Misty wants to stay on the beach, because she's afraid of the bug Pokemon, of course.
She uses some others, though.
She does. But here's the thing. She's seen Venonat. Tracy's used Venonat. Back in, like, Crystal Onix, I think, for sure. And other times. I think before that, even. And she hasn't freaked out when Tracy brings out Venonat. Ever. Or even here on the island when he brings him out. So, that seems odd. Especially since Venonat is a very, very much bug-looking Pokemon.
It's got the buggy eyes and everything.
Right? Antenna. Big, like, fly eyes. So, that seems weird. Especially since Caterpie is much cuter in comparison, I would think. And she was so freaked out by Caterpie. And Ash wants to catch a Caterpie again, which is interesting because he let Butterfree go all that time ago.
Oh, yeah.
And then while they're walking along, Tracy talks about how Venonat and Meryl are really a great team because of their different powers kind of complement each other for, like, seeking things out. And Misty says, at least they are not bug types. I'm sorry. But yes, Venonat is a bug type Pokemon. He's bug poison. I'm like, are you kidding me? But whatever. That's fine. She wants to live in her Delulu land that she can live there. They eventually come across a beat-up Scyther, an older-looking Scyther. Tracy tries to give it a potion, and Scyther gets into a combat stance. Ash tries to catch it to get it to so they can get it to a Pokemon Center, but Scyther knocks the Pokeball away. Ash gets ready to fight, but Tracy has an idea and sends Venonat in to use Sleep Powder and put Scyther to sleep. Then Tracy catches the Scyther, and they run off for a Pokemon Center. Now we get Team Rocket floating over the island, and a Beedrill flies up right into their balloon, popping a hole in it. Hey, you know, we were just talking about the Pokemon Horizons thing where they used Caterpie to fix up,
patch
up things. I think Team Rocket really needs some Caterpie.
Yep.
So they can patch up their balloon every time it pops. They crash land and see all kinds of bug Pokemon around them. Then, a whole bunch of Scythers show up, including one with an X scar on its head, which attacks Team Rocket. Meanwhile, the Scyther in the Pokemon Center looks upset to have been dragged there by Tracy. Joy informs the gang that it must have been the leader of a swarm, and she knows because it is an older-looking Scyther, and the damage it incurred was from a battle with another Scyther. Like, she can tell that stuff. He was left alone because the swarm left him once he was defeated. That's just how the Scyther work, apparently. Then, with a phone call with Professor Oak, informs them that Scyther feels defeated, and his pride is hurt, and he needs his confidence back. Then we go back to Team Rocket, barely getting out of the woods. They even say they got out by a hair. And then we see the swoop of Jessie's hair is completely gone. I think her hair is like chin length or something at this point now.
Yeah. Well, I think we were watching it. I'm like, Jessie's hair!
They were all afraid of the Scyther, but now Jessie wants revenge. And they warn Jessie if she just rushes in there, she could end up with a crew cut, which she claims would be her worst nightmare. So they need to come up with a plan to get all the Scyther. Tracy tries to encourage his new Scyther, and Ash has the idea of a rematch with the Scyther. Tracy offers to help the old Scyther to train. Team Rocket, on the other hand, sneaks up on the Scyther group, the swarm, and fires a rocket that drops sticky goo over them all, and then they net them. It seems the old Scyther with Tracy can tell that something has gone wrong. Joy says he needs some time before he can get up and stuff, but he should be fine eventually. But Scyther flies right out the window and stumbles on his way out, but he keeps on going.
I had a feeling.
Yeah. Yep. The gang rushes off to help, and then we see Jessie is nuts with her hair having been cut. She's just like a psycho at this point. Like, she is so angry they cut her hair. And it's scaring James and Meowth. And then she talks about her resplendent hair, and Meowth and James are like, what's resplendent? I think James is the one who says, what's resplendent? And Meowth is like, must mean big. Because her hair is big. I thought that line was hilarious. It must mean big. Suddenly, the old Scyther that was with Tracy and them shows up and cuts the net. And then we have the beginning of their motto is funny. Insult my hair, prepare for trouble. It used to be there, but now it's stubble. I was dying during this episode. I thought there was so much that was hilarious about all this.
I love the stubble part.
Right? And they also make some more hair-related comments throughout the motto before sending out their Pokemon. And we get back to Victory Bell eating James.
Yes, Victory Bell, you're back on my good.
And then there's a lot of cutting puns through the episode, too, because of the Scyther cut things and all that stuff. Like, yeah. I don't even remember what they all say, but things like cut it out or whatever. There's just a lot of cutting puns. Yeah, there was just so many good puns in this episode. It was probably why I liked it so much.
The whole episode, also, I kept saying, her hair is cut now. But don't worry, Jesse, it'll be back in 20 minutes for the next episode.
Which, spoilers, it grows back immediately. It's back in the next episode.
I knew it was going to be back.
Oh, I did too.
The whole episode, I was like, it's not going to stay there.
Nope. So then the old Scyther uses Sword Dance to focus its energy, is what they claim that Sword Dance does. But when he uses it, it causes him to spin a lot, which is important at this point because Weezing does a smoke screen and the Sword Dance blows it all away. Then Scyther won't let Pikachu help the Scyther as it is planning to deal with Team Rocket on its own. Tracy seems to understand and gives commands to Scyther. So, like, on his own with a trainer. Not just on his own. Just no other Pokemon. So Tracy... And then we get the awesome, like, electric guitar battle gym music thing again.
Yeah.
Which I always love when that shows up.
I think it's cool.
Lickitung ends up in Victory Bell's mouth, which is hilarious, during the battle.
So disgusting, too, because his tongue is always sticking out. Ugh! You're licking the inside of...
That is gross. But Scyther ended up exhausting itself in this battle, and Victory Bell eventually gets back into action.
To go eat another person!
And Scyther tries... Or no. Then it uses Razor Leaf, but the leaves are cut to pieces by Scyther. Arbok shows back up, And then the scarred Scyther that leads the swarm now or whatever jumps in and protects the old Scyther. Then both Scythers work together to deal with a team-up attack of all of Team Rocket's Pokemon minus Meowth. Like, they all group together and charge at once kind of thing. And then when that's finished and the battle's won by the Scythers, we find Meowth has a missing line of hair in the center of his face, while Jesse and James are left with only hair on the center of their heads, creating mohawks. Team Rocket runs away. The two Scythers come to terms, and Scarface is left with the swarm, while old Scyther continues with Tracy. Then Tracy does a catching pose and line, being like, "I caught Scyther!" And Ash starts to explain that he didn't do it right and starts teaching him how to do the pose correctly.
And Misty's all like, "Oh, go."
Yep. And then we have a way off, day off. Ash is hungry again.
Well, I mean, like, it is like a daily thing that he's hungry.
Sure. But he's the only one who complains about it. Well, that's not true. Sometimes other people do say they're hungry. He's the one who complains and talks about it the most.
I feel like Misty's the second most because Tracy hasn't been there enough to be the other one.
I would agree. But it seems in the other episodes that had Brock, if Misty was complaining, Brock probably was too. Like, they were all super hungry when they met the hippie guy with the Snorlaxes. And admittedly, Brock probably doesn't, like, whine or complain, but he does mention that he would like to find some food. Like, he's much less whiny about it when he talks about it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they're riding along on the Lapras. He's hungry. They seem to have not been on an island in a while, and they're bored. So they stop at an island. And Jigglypuff pops up out of the water as they sail off. Yes, we love some Jigglypuff action.
Jigglypuff.
The island is beautiful, and it seems they have it all to themselves. So Ash and Misty send Lapras, Goldeen, and Staryu to have fun in the water, and a fruit drops on top of Ash's head.
He discovered gravity!
He looks up and sees a Farfetch'd flying off. Then we see a whole flock of them flying off. And they talk about it a little bit, and then that's it. Seems random. Pikachu and Togepi return with a bunch of fruit, and they show the gang a whole bunch of trees with fruit. So they all decide to bring out all their Pokemon and have a little vacation. Misty gets ready to release Psyduck, but he's already out, and she's mad that he didn't wait for her to say so. He probably just read her mind, so he knew what was coming. The other Pokemon are nervous about Scyther, but not Togepi. Because Togepi is an innocent little baby. And walks over and pats the Scyther's leg. That makes the rest decide to try saying hi since the Scyther didn't retaliate. They even let Charizard out, and he's just laying around like he tends to do. Ash tries to have him say hello. He just burns Ash. And then Scyther rushes over in a challenging way, which gets Charizard to get up, ready for the battle. Meanwhile, Team Rocket are all on the beach, relaxing and taking a vacation from failing, as it is hard work to fail so much.
I mean, it kind of is. You have to try your hardest every single time. And then.
And they aren't even going to think about stealing Pokemon until they see Togepi. So much for vacation. Meanwhile, the gang is gathering up food. Turns out that Charizard and Scyther didn't have their battle. And when they get back to a pile, we see Scyther and Snorlax arguing or something. And there's with the giant pile right in front of Snorlax. Turns out Snorlax is hungry, but they're not ready to eat yet. And then that pile of fruit jiggles a bit, and out pops Jigglypuff!
Yay!
A nice little song from Jigglypuff, and everyone is asleep. And Jiggly draws on everyone in its anger.
Puff.
Togepi has a nice little smiley face on one of its little crown points, I noticed, which I thought was fun. And what was really hilarious to me is Snorlax has open eyes drawn on his lids to make him kind of look like he's awake. More awake than he does when he's actually awake, actually.
Yeah.
But it made me, like, look twice. I'm like, wait, his eyes are open. Wait, those are open eyes. That can't be... It was so funny. I was so confused for a moment. And then when everybody else is awake, they're like, let's let Snorlax sleep just a little longer so he's not a problem.
Yeah.
And then we get one of the Pokemon jukebox songs. I can't remember what it was. It doesn't actually play the words. It just plays the music, I think. But I recognized it. Like Together Forever or something like that.
Together Forever, you'll always be my best friend or something.
Yeah, something like that. I think that was like the song, but I don't remember for sure.
I can imagine it.
Yeah. Yep. And all the Pokemon are eating fruit. Then the humans' food is done, but it's fruit sandwiches, which Misty isn't really thrilled about. And before they can enjoy it, Snorlax shows up and eats them all. And Ash and Misty and them are washing the dishes in a river or whatever, and they're like, Snorlax gets to eat it all, and we're stuck washing the dishes.
Yeah.
Poor guys. Oh, and they're wondering why Snorlax doesn't eat so much, like he ate whole islands of fruit trees before, but they learn that he probably doesn't use as much energy when sleeping in a Pokeball, so. So he doesn't need as much food now, which was a good explanation, because it was fun for him to eat whole islands of stuff, but that's a problem to try to keep that going for a Pokemon that you're taking with you. So I like how they, transitioned his hunger away. So then everyone is asleep. Pikachu wakes up and finds Ash missing from his, sleeping bag area. But it turns out Ash is near the beach admiring the GS ball. So, hey, we got that showing up again to remind us that, hey, there was this other plot going on.
Yeah.
Because we haven't done much with it. He also is admiring the Orange Island badges that he's gotten so far, and we get a flashback to those two gyms and their series of contests. Then we get the song, I think it was the same song again, actually, playing again, and maybe even some words this time, I don't remember. Then randomly we go back to the sleeping people, and Tracy half wakes up, he's not actually awake, he's still sleeping, but he sits up and is sketching birds, but not really, just pretending to in his sleep. but sketching the three legendary birds. Which I thought was interesting for anybody who is familiar out there with the upcoming movie that takes place in the middle of the Orange Islands. That's almost foreshadowing some stuff coming.
That's fun.
And I'm sure they were probably working on the movie at this time, so they might have done that on purpose. Victory Bell of Team Rocket sends out a bunch of sleep powder over the gang. Yep, but just to make sure they stay that way. And the Pokemon stay asleep. Because it goes over the Pokemon all sleeping outside as well. Then Vicky eats James again.
Vicky?
Yeah, Victory Bell. Then Jesse launches a bunch of suction cups with rope attached to them, and so they try to reel in the Pokemon, including Snorlax. Surprisingly, this doesn't work. And then
do all of them except Snorlax. It's stupid. Don't try to get Snorlax. Right? Useless.
They would have just been best to grab a Pokemon and just snatch that, and then if they had time, get more. So then, yeah, Scyther shows up, awake, and cuts the rope. And we find out Charizard is also awake. They make a bunch of noise, which gets Ash's attention, and wakes everyone that was there up. Then Team Rocket zipline in with their motto, and hit a tree at the point where they say their names.
Jesse.
Psh! James. Psh! And it makes a mess of the last part of their motto, as they're stunned. And it was hilarious, because, Jesse kind of says hers in a little bit, but stunned or whatever. I can't remember exactly how her goes, but James gets caught in a spot and just kind of says it multiple times in a circle, I'm prepared to It was funny. Then a battle begins. Of course, Scyther uses his spin to clear smoke from Weezing a second time, like we had in the last episode. Team Rocket doesn't stand a chance, per usual. Charizard and Scyther team up to send Team Rocket blasting off again at the end. Ding! Then the two Pokemon stare at one another for a while and walk their separate ways. Seems like they might respect one another now. Then we catch up with Team Rocket, and they're on a tiny little island, and they want to enjoy it. And they see a Farfetch'd. They're like, ooh, a Farfetch'd. Maybe there's more here. And then in the bushes on the tiny little island that they're on, a bunch more show up and start whacking them.
Poor Team Rocket. Just one of occasion.
And then our last episode, the Jinx episode. The Mandarin Island mismatch. Not Ooh. Mismatch, but mismatch. So here, Ash is using Bulbasaur to finish up a battle against a Butterfree, which is another poor matchup, but he still
flying
did it.
Flying against Grimm.
I don't know. Is Butterfree flying, though? He's definitely bug. Is he bug flying? He could be. I don't remember now. But the thing is I know Butterfree, he might learn flying attacks. I can't remember. But I know he definitely learns a move called Confusion, which is a psychic move.
Good against poison.
Which is good against poison, and Bulbasaur is grass poison. So not good for a Bulbasaur, generally. But yeah, Ash still wins, and that's how we open, and we hear he's been winning every match since he got to Mandarin Island, and he's getting way too cocky. Yeah. Then Tracy finds out why everyone on the island is willing to battle, and it's because Prima is on the island to give a lecture.
Prima.
She also apparently has a house there, Now, here's the thing about Prima. That's her name in the anime.
In the anime!
And she looks very much like a certain character, and she's supposed to be, because in the Japanese title, which I can't remember exactly, they use the name of the same character in the video game, but the Japanese name, and even mention that she's part of the Elite, which they don't even touch on in this episode for whatever reason. But she's Elite Four member Lorelei.
And it's Prima!
And they call her Prima, and I'm very confused by this. So, but this is our second Elite Four member showing up in the anime, finally.
It's anime.
So, Misty is in awe of Prima because she's a she's a water trainer, which is technically true, I guess, but she's called the ice trainer because they all use the ice. They all are water Pokemon that can use ice moves or actually ice Pokemon. And we'll see, one of the Pokemon she uses here is not a water Pokemon. It is an ice Pokemon. So Misty and Tracy end up tripping over themselves to talk to her. And she completely doesn't even acknowledge anybody who's talking to her when they do. And instead she talks to Togepi.
She's weird. I don't know.
She is very strange in this one.
They could have made it a lot cooler or better.
Yeah. Then they try to talk to her again, and she talks about the wind and sea and tells them to shush. So I guess she did mention something there to them. Shush. Meanwhile, Ash is just being obnoxious and keeps trying to challenge Prima, but having no luck because she doesn't acknowledge anything he says. And he even tries to claim she's afraid, but she even ignores that. So then he suddenly sees a passerby, so he goes and challenges that guy. And Ash lets the guy set the rules, and they decide it's going to be a 2-versus-2 battle. But at this point, Prima actually takes some interest because she moves over to the railing to oversee their battle and watches it. Ash's Squirtle is what starts out versus the other's Persian. Persian, or the next Pokemon, was trained with a, or given a Thunderbolt move, which is good against Squirtle. But Ash does have Squirtle use Withdraw, and it protects him. So I think it must have been the Persian, probably. So the Persian was trained to use Thunderbolt, hits Squirtle, but Squirtle uses Withdraw to protect itself, and then Ash has Squirtle use Skull Bash and defeat the Persian, which surprises the other trainer. And then at this point, Prima seems quite focused and serious now. She didn't seem so serious because she was all kind of talking random about the ocean and the wind and kind of almost sliding. But now she's serious.
Like she might have been a bit...
Kinda. So then the opposing trainer, after his Persian goes down, brings out Tauros, and that one takes out Squirtle. So Ash brings out Charizard.
Dude, Charizard doesn't listen to you.
And well, see, here's the thing. I think somebody mentioned how the Tauros was really tough and a strong Pokemon. And that got Ash thinking, oh, big, tough, strong Pokemon. Then I need to use my big, tough, strong Pokemon, which is Charizard. Yep. Ash is not the smartest kid. We've talked about this. And Charizard, of course, burns Ash like he always does. And Misty says, well, now Ash really looks like Ash, which is a pun on his name, but it also seems to be suggesting that he's a donkey. And I don't mean the actual animal, but the other word for donkey.
What?
It almost seemed like that might have been part of the joke. Like it was a double-layered joke. I don't know. Even if it wasn't, it sounded like it to me, and it was funny. Anyway, the other trainer thinks he is going to win now, but Charizard totally takes out Tauros. Because he's like, oh, you hit me. Well, now I'm going to beat you up, is like Charizard's thinking. And then once he won, Charizard goes on a rampage and starts just breathing fire and flying around. And the other trainer's like, hey, don't bring out a Pokemon you can't control. Ash tries to return Charizard to no avail, then Prima sends out Slowbro, and Tracy wonders how a Slowbro can defeat a Charizard. Easily, because Slowbro is water. What? And if it can use ice moves, that's good against flying, too. So, come on. Anyway.
But it's weak.
Huh?
Ice is weak.
Sure, sure. That's you might be right about that, actually. But either way, it has water moves. Or it can have water moves, at least. And yet, Prima just uses Disable. Doesn't use a water move. Doesn't use an ice move. Just Disable. And brings Charizard down. So, use the psychic move. I don't even know if Disable is technically a psychic move or not, but it doesn't do damage. It actually makes it so you can't use a move. That's all Disable does in the game.
I know.
Okay. But they always use it to, like, freeze characters in the show.
That makes it cool.
Yeah. I like it. It works. So then, with the disable, Charizard's also brought down. Now Prima talks to Ash and tells him to return Charizard, and she tells him that Charizard needs training. No joke, Prima. And Ash tries to say some stuff about, like, trying to train him, and should he has all the badges or something along those lines, and yeah. Prima tells him that he just doesn't understand. Then she invites them all to come to her demonstration later. Team Rocket are in hot dog selling uniforms at the stadium where the demonstration is. Prima takes out various Pokemon with Dewgong, Cloyster, and I think she used another Pokemon, but I don't remember what it was. Then the gang ends up hanging out with her at her house or something and having tea.
Ocha.
Yes. And Tracy and Misty are praising Prima from her demonstration and stuff. Tracy mentions that Prima is totally different when she's battling, and Prima explains that she tries to behave like water. When she's not battling, she tries to go with the flow. And then when battling, she becomes hard and unforgiving like ice. And then when it's over, she tries to melt back into the flow. I actually really like that, like, description of how she tries to operate her life. I thought that was cool. Being all flexible and stuff as water and everything.
But she takes it to a long extent where she just doesn't pay attention. I feel like
I would agree with that.
A little bit more.
Yeah, probably. Finally, she decides to accept Ash's desire to battle. Ash thinks he knows what to do after studying her style. He brings out Pikachu, and she brings out Cloyster. Pika totally loses against Cloyster. Prima was super serious, and then she flows into caring mode and picks up Pikachu. Which I thought was interesting, too, because she did. She got all super serious for the battle and stuff, and then she was all like, oh, little Pikachu, and she carries him and coddles him.
Yeah.
Then Ash relearns. I say relearns because he's learned this and done this before. That he and his Pokemon are supposed to be caring for one another and be friends. The power of friendship, man.
He's pretty good at the power of friendship.
He often is, but he needed to be taught this again, apparently. And he's also taught how to lose, which is something he hasn't done well in the past. So, I mean, that's good. He should learn how to lose. Well. And then Team Rocket shows up in their balloon. The motto that they use this time does reference Prima as Miss Elite, which is, like, I think the only reference we get to her potentially being a member of the Elite Four in this version. And when Team Rocket decides to take Pikachu, she brings out Jinx, which is why the episode got pulled, of course. Then Jinx freezes them and blizzards them away until they're blasting off again. Ding! And after the blizzard, because it's all sunny and stuff out there, it's all glittering in the sky, the snow.
Yeah.
And Misty makes a comment on how pretty it is, I think. And at this point, Prima goes, the ice is nice. Which I thought was really amusing, based off of our conversation about ice is nice a few episodes back when we talked about our battle with the Elite Four. Because you said the ice is not nice. And it was really funny because you're like, the ice is not nice. Well, except for me, because I'm an ice trainer. But I just thought it was really funny that they referenced the ice being nice like you had.
Yeah.
Or not nice, or whatever. And then Prima gives them instructions on how to get to the next gym on Trovita. So they have a destination so they can get to the third gym. But spoilers, it takes them a couple episodes to get there. But it will be covered next week when we come back. All right, now our first chunk of yellow Pokedex entries beyond the ones we covered in a previous episode. We'll be splitting them up from here to throughout the rest of Orange Island and yellow Pokemon Adventures episodes, except for we will skip the movie week.
Who's that Pokemon?
All right, first up, number 2, Ivysaur, seed Pokemon. The bulb on its back grows by drawing energy. It gives off an aroma when it is ready to bloom.
Number 3, Venusaur, seed Pokemon. The flower on its back catches the sun's rays. The sunlight is then absorbed and used for energy.
Number 4. Charmander, lizard Pokemon. The flame at the tip of its tail makes a sound as it burns. You can only hear it in quiet places.
Number 5. Charmeleon, flame Pokemon. Tough fights could excite this Pokemon. When excited, it may blow out bluish-white flames.
Number 6. Charizard, flame Pokemon. When expelling a blast of super hot fire, the red flame at the tip of its tail burns more intensely.
Number 7. Squirtle, tiny turtle Pokemon. Shoots water at prey while in the water. Withdraws into its shell when in danger.
Number 8. Wartortle, turtle Pokemon. When tapped, this Pokemon will pull in its head, but its tail will stick out a little bit.
Number 9. Blastoise, shellfish Pokemon. Once it takes aim at its enemy, it blasts out water with even more force than a fire hose.
Number 10. Caterpie, worm Pokemon. If you touch the feeler on top of its head, it will release a horrible stink to protect itself.
Number 11. Metapod, cocoon Pokemon. Hardens its shell to protect itself. However, a large impact may cause it to pop out of its shell. Number 12. Butterfree, butterfly Pokemon. Its wings covered with a poisonous powder repel water. This allows it to fly in the rain.
Number 13. Weedle, hairy bug Pokemon. Beware of the sharp stinger on its head. It hides in grass and bushes where it eats leaves.
Number 14. Kakuna, cocoon Pokemon. Able to move only slightly when endangered, it may stick out its stinger and poison its enemy.
Number 15. Beedrill, poison bee Pokemon. It has 3 poisonous stingers on its forelegs and its tail. They are used to jab its enemy repeatedly. Yikes.
Number 16. Pidgey, tiny bird Pokemon. I got the tiny turtle Pokemon and the tiny bird Pokemon. Very docile. If attacked, it will often kick up sand to protect itself rather than fight back.
Number 17. Pidgeotto, bird Pokemon. This Pokemon is full of vitality. It constantly flies around its large territory in search of prey.
Number 18. Pidgeot, bird Pokemon. This Pokemon flies at Mach 2 speed seeking prey. Its large talons are feared as wicked weapons.
Number 19. Rattata, mouse Pokemon. Will chew on anything with its fangs. If you see one, it is certain that 40 more live in the area. We know about that. We had rat problems before.
Number 20. Raticate, mouse Pokemon. Its hind feet are webbed. They act as flippers so it can't swim in rivers and hunt for prey. So it can swim in rivers and hunt for prey.
I thought it was weird that it couldn't with its flippers, but okay. Number 21. Spearow, tiny bird Pokemon. Inept at flying high. However, it can fly around very fast to protect its territory.
Number 22. Fearow, beak Pokemon. A Pokemon that dates back many years. If it senses danger, it flies high and away instantly.
Number 23. Ekans, snake Pokemon. The older it gets, the longer it grows. At night, it wraps its long body around tree branches to rest.
Number 24. Arbok, cobra Pokemon. The frightening patterns on its belly have been studied. 6 variations have been confirmed.
Number 25. Pikachu! Mouse Pokemon. It keeps its tail raised to monitor its surroundings. If you yank its tail, it will try to bite you.
Number 26. Raichu, mouse Pokemon. When electricity builds up inside its body, it becomes feisty. It also glows in the dark.
All right, and that's part one of our yellow Pokedex. And that is our episode, everyone. Hope you enjoyed it. Hope you enjoyed the banter about Bellsprouts and Leafstones and pronunciations of anime and manga.
All right. When you comment, tell him that it is anime and manga.
Yes. You can all correct my daughter Ruby all you want.
No! Correct him! You're just as bad as a Bill Sprout.
Alright, so next week we are covering the first half of Volume 6, which are chapters 66 through 71. And we will be covering the anime episodes Wherefore Art Thou Pokemon, Get Along Little Pokemon, The Mystery Menace, Misty Meets Her Match, Bound for Trouble, and Charizard Chills.
So he gets frozen and dies. That's pretty much the episode.
And now it is time for Pokemon cards. I will be going through Scarlet and Violet Temporal Forces. And I'm not sure what Pokemon I have in the front of my package.
I have the exact same one as you.
It looks watery in nature. It almost looks like Suicune, but I can't be certain about
that. It's not a Suicune, but it looks like a Suicune.
Yeah, kind of. I don't know. I have no idea. Did you want to go first?
Sure. My first Pokemon is Elgium, psychic type. I got a Sizzlipede, fire type. A Meryl, but psychic.
Ooh, a psychic Meryl.
Yeah.
Oh, because I think Meryl might be fairy, too.
Ooh, I like Meryl even more now. I already thought Meryl was just fun.
I mean, Meryl becomes fairy later, because fairy doesn't exist until later.
Golett, fighting type. Golurk, evolves from Golett, also fighting type. Shaman.
Shaman. That's a mythical Pokemon, I think.
Interesting. Grass type. Fortress, evolves from Pineco, which is like a Pineco. Metal type. Rosalie, it's grass type, and it's my reverse holo.
Okay.
Frostmoth evolves from Snom, water type. Ooh,
I like that.
Also a reverse holo. Iron Valent, future. Ooh. Psychic type. He looks real cool. Like, real cool.
Ooh, it's like Glade or something. Interesting.
And a water energy.
Nice. All right, I have Metang, evolves from Beldum. He has an ability, but I'm not going to go over that, but he's metal type. I have Karkle, fighting type, evolves from Rolycoly. Grottle evolves from Turtwig, grass type. Ooh, Finizen, water type, little dolphin type Pokemon. I have the Rescue Board, which looks like a kind of like a skateboard with a siren on it. Ooh, I have Sandy Shocks. It's a fighting type and it's an ancient Pokemon. And I think it's a form of Magneton. Interesting. I have Rabska, evolves from Relor. It's a grass type. And my reverse holo is a Melmetal, evolves from Meltan, metal type, steel type, whatever. Karkul, again, fighting type, evolves from Rolycoly and also reverse holo. And then my rare is a Relicanth, which is a fighting type and a Pokemon that I do not recognize. And with all the fighting I have in my deck, I also got a fighting energy.
Your deck.
Oh, sorry, my pack. All right. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed all the fun, and yeah, please go ahead and leave any comments you like, whether it's getting after us and correcting us or telling
about
who's right.
Manga and anime.
And you can email us at hunterfieldmanor@gmail.com. We have a YouTube channel where the podcasts go up at Hunterfield Institute. And we are on Spotify and Apple and Amazon and other things. So, yeah, go ahead and leave any comments there. Like, subscribe, rate, review, all that stuff. And I think that's it. So, we will catch you on the next round. Bye! Bye. Part 8. The Glowing Rock. Except for the echo of footsteps, there was no sound as Midori and Violet continued their walk through the mountain caves for the next 5 minutes. Sensing the tension, there wasn't even a peep from the accompanying Eevee and Horsey. Midori took a deep breath and Violet tensed up, sure her father was going to lecture her some more. "Look, Violet, I know you're not used to battling yet, and it's kind of my fault you don't know how to win or lose properly."
"Win properly? I won, didn't I? And I didn't cheat.
So how is that not properly?
Midori stopped and turned to look at Violet. She kept walking, however, and so Midori started back up as he talked. You were not being kind in victory. You gloated, and, in doing that, were taking all the credit for the win. Did you even consider that you might have just gotten lucky? Whirling around, Violet glared at Midori.
You think I just got lucky? Real nice. So you don't even give me any credit? I might as well not even be a trainer then, huh? If all I have is luck.
Whoa, Midori said, putting his hands up. I did not say you were lucky. I just said you didn't even consider the possibility that some luck was involved. I know you know a lot, and there was skill at play, but it doesn't mean it's all skill.
But you said I just got lucky, and...
I did not. I suggested the possibility. Don't twist my words to mean something else. And while you throw a tantrum about me taking credit away from you, what about Mizu? Violet furrowed her brow.
Mizu? What about Mizu?
You started gloating and forgot all about your horsey. You just left Mizu sitting out there having won the battle against the Nidoran and didn't congratulate it or share in the glory or even call it back to you. Is that the relationship you want with your Pokemon? Crossing her arms, Violet didn't say a word. But in her defiant scowl she was turning to Midori, there was a hint of remorse as her eyes took a quick dart to the side to glance at Mizu, perched there on the girl's shoulder. Midori shrugged. I mean, if that is what you want, keep at it. But don't be surprised when you find yourself losing your battles. Midori started walking again, moving beyond Violet, who stood there facing where Midori had been a little longer before finally turning and following along again. As the pair continued along with their Pokemon companions, Midori occasionally stole a glance behind him and noticed that Violet had listened to him and seemed to be reconciling with her horsey. She clearly had a bit of pride keeping her from admitting Midori had a point, but he couldn't fault her for that too much, since he had issues with pride himself. It was good enough for him to see she had not shut out everything he had said. It took another few minutes before anything else was said, and when words were spoken, it had nothing to do with the earlier conversation. Violet, look at this! Midori said as he rushed over to what looked like just any of the other cave walls they had passed. His eyes were wide with excitement as he ran his hands over the surface and something glinted between his fingers. Curiosity propelled the girl forward and she tried to figure out what light was even being reflected in whatever her father had found. Midori waved his arm rapidly to try and hurry Violet along. Then, as she drew closer, he motioned to a small stone wedged into the cave wall, and it was giving off a pale glow.
Is that a moonstone?
Violet asked, amazed. Yep. These stones are what give us so much light in the Mount Moon Caves. Also, what gives the mountain its name.
I know that's where the name comes from, Dad.
Violet said, rolling her eyes. Right, of course. Midori flashed a sheepish grin. Anyway, despite them lighting up the caves, they can be hard to find, and, like this one, even when found, they can be next to impossible to collect. Midori looked around for a minute, apparently hoping to find something. Then he said, If only we had a pickaxe. He shrugged. Ah, well, better luck next time, I guess. Violet leaned in closer and peered at the rock.
Is it true that the Clefairy are responsible for bringing these stones here?
That's certainly a legend I've heard. Some claim it's one of their abilities that shower the mountain in moonstones, while others have suggested that the Clefairy are actually from the moon and they bring pieces of it with them when they come down here.
Or maybe...
Violet frowned in thought.
Maybe they have nothing to do with them at all, and they are just attracted to the moonstones, and that's why Clefairy are most often found in Mount Moon.
Certainly possible, Midori agreed. Whatever the case may be, if there is a moonstone here, then there is likely Clefairy or more not far. Be on the lookout. Those Pokemon can be very mischievous, but would be a great catch if you—
Dad, duck!
Midori dropped his head down quickly, and as soon as he did, a pink, roundish creature bounded over him, giving off its sweet cry.
Was that a Clefairy?
Midori looked in the direction the Pokemon was bouncing off to, and then back at his daughter. I think so. Wanna chase after it? Violet grinned and pulled out a Pokeball.
I want to catch it.
To be continued.